everybody.
Welcome back to What You're Watching podcast. Today in studio is Chris and Scott. Say hi, Scott.
Hey, everybody.
All right, today we are going to review and talk about a Netflix original, and this is not one of those Netflix originals that goes to the theater. This was strictly streaming.
They did a week in the theater.
Did they?
Select cinemas, yeah.
Oh, I did not.
But not near us.
Okay, well, Triple Frontier, which came out yesterday for Scott and I.
Right.
And who knows when for you, because it depends on when you listen.
At some point.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about Triple Frontier, and then we are going to get into some Captain Marvel, which we might revisit on another episode when Ashley and Josh come back in the studio, because I don't mind talking about it again, and it's a big enough movie where they deserve some mic time about it.
It's the biggest release of the year so far.
And wasn't the best movie of the year so far yet, though.
Probably not, but we'll get into that.
Okay.
We'll argue about that later.
All right. So, rundown of what we've been watching real quick, besides our two big ones. I binge-watched two Netflix shows the past few days, one of them being Santa Clarita Diet, which I don't know how I didn't know about this show. The third season drops in, like, 2 weeks, March 29th. It stars Timothy Olyphant and Drew Barrymore, where she becomes a zombie, but not like you can tell. In, like, if you met her, you would think she's a normal person.
Right.
But I love Timothy Olyphant. There's never been anything that I didn't like him in.
Always good.
And he is absolutely hilarious in this show. Drew Barrymore is Drew Barrymore in this show, except she's vulgar, which is great. Their chemistry grows throughout the series, and they start to play really well on each other. The first couple episodes, I was just kind of like, yeah, this is kind of funny. I don't know if it's any good, though. But then, like, episode 5 or 6, I'm like, oh, my God, I love this show. The other one was Ricky Gervais, Afterlife.
I was hoping you were going to say that you watched The OA.
I started it.
It's so bad.
Yeah, I started it, and that was one I was, like, 4 episodes in, and I'm like, this is either really interesting or really awful.
You need to finish it.
Okay.
Only for...
Yeah.
For the sake of the podcast, you need to finish the first part of The OA. But anyways, okay. Ricky Gervais' show. Heard about it, haven't watched it yet.
So, so beautiful. I mean, I wanted to watch it because of my lack of beliefs, and I know they jive with Ricky Gervais.
Right.
And the title, Afterlife, I'm like, oh, this is right on par for me. Has nothing to do with what I thought. It's all about his wife dying and him dealing with the death of his wife.
Oh, so grieving. It's after her life.
Yes.
I got you.
And he's just incredibly sad to the point where he's just an asshole to absolutely everybody. And
so he's Ricky Gervais. Being an asshole to everybody.
Yeah, but it's...
But in a sad way.
Yeah, not in a comedic way, more in a sad, mean way. And he thinks about killing himself every day. The reason he didn't kill himself the first time, the reason he doesn't go through it with it, is because he sees his dog, and he thinks, if I kill myself, who's going to feed the dog? So he doesn't kill
himself. Sometimes that's all it takes.
Yeah. And it's just, it's so sad. It's a beautiful story with absolutely beautiful music throughout the show. I wouldn't say it's a very, like, the ending of it isn't like, oh, so happy ending, but it's not a sad ending. It comes together just beautifully. It's one of the most beautiful shows I've seen, and it's only 6 episodes, half-hour episodes.
Oh, yeah.
You can watch it in a few hours.
I can watch that tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So definitely check that out. I absolutely loved it. Anything on the docket for you?
I am on the pre-season 8 Game of Thrones binge.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much been it. Come home from work, make my dinner, 2-3 episodes, then off to bed.
I don't think I'm going to be able to do that before the final season. I might watch maybe the last couple episodes or something.
That's what I usually do before a new season starts, but I figured since it's the final season, I'd give it the full run and I'm not regretting it. It's yeah. You pick up more, see more. It's
yeah, and this is the first time that you've rewatched it.
First rewatch. Yeah. I've done a couple episodes from the previous season before every season.
Yeah, that's a mandatory thing. You have to watch the show a second time, which I've done. I've done it two or three times. I think I've watched it completely through three times, with the exception of the last season, maybe, because I think it was before the last season that I rewatched it a couple times.
Makes sense.
But
I don't do a ton of rewatching.
Yeah, except for like a what was it? God,
what was I on last time? I was on a wicked Parks and Rec.
Yeah, Parks and Rec, and which was like, probably the fourth time. For
that's
you,
like 23 episodes a season for six seasons, yeah, and
right,
you get lost. The only dramatic rewatch I do is I do The Wire once a year.
Really?
Yeah. It just happens organically at some point during the year where I think of an episode and I start episode one and next thing I know I've watched five seasons.
Yeah, that's the most overrated show ever.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's all right.
I'm joking.
That's not for today.
I'm joking. We were talking a little bit off mic about Behind the Curve, the Flat Earther movie.
Yes.
I still got about 35 minutes left in it, but it's almost infuriating.
But it's also wildly entertaining. Ooh. We shouldn't be bringing this up on mic, but... Did you watch Abducted in Plain Sight?
No, I haven't.
On your list for next week, because we have to discuss that.
I've heard it so much. I heard so much about it. It's like I don't need to watch it.
No, you need to watch it, because I'm sure people were trying to spare you some of the just ridiculous things that happened.
Well, I heard about the guy jerking him off to help him out or whatever.
That's hardly anything.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. So let's put that on the docket for next week.
All right,
a little preview.
I'll check that one out. Behind the Curve, I love how these flat earthers, they get the what is it, gyroscope?
Gyroscope?
Yeah. What is a gyroscope?
I don't know what a gyroscope
is. You watched the movie.
Okay. Yeah, I did watch the movie. It doesn't mean I...
So they're like, okay, if the earth is spinning at this speed and we put a gyroscope here, you should notice a 15-degree tilt if we were actually spinning.
Right.
But we're going to put this we bought a $20,000 gyroscope. We're going to put it down. It's the most accurate gyroscope you can get, and you're going to notice nothing. And he says, so we did it. And what was weird was we started to notice a 15-degree tilt, and we're like, that can't be right. So what we did was we put it in a Gauss chamber, which shields it from the heavenly powers, they call them. And they're like, and we still notice the 15-degree tilt. So we can't really tell anybody about this. We got to keep this under wraps until we can get it to work right.
Yeah, until we can do a proper experiment. Right?
They just keep proving themselves wrong.
Right. They over and over again, they prove themselves wrong. It's wildly entertaining.
But I loved how the scientist says, that is exactly why scientists aren't taking this seriously.
Right.
Because there's nothing we can do to convince them otherwise.
No.
There's nothing.
And I loved it earlier when the guy was like, if we were hurling through space and spinning, we would feel it. And if I threw this ball in the air, why wouldn't it go flying by? And then they show the guy in the car with the ball. Yeah. And he throws
it. Did they show that? Because I know the guy talked about it.
Or maybe he just talked about it.
Yeah, he goes, if I'm going 80 miles an hour inside of a car and I toss a ball up, it's going to come back down in my hand.
Right.
It's not going to fly through the back window.
It's absurd. I actually know a couple flat earthers, too.
Oh, my God.
I swear to you, I do.
Do you want to punch them in the face? I'm not saying you do, because that's assault and battery, but do you want to?
Yeah, I know a flat earther. I know a moon landing truther. I know some people, and I'm just like, you can't, they're right. You can't argue with them.
No. I can deal with the moon landing guys, because your argument is at least viable. I mean, they did it in a Hollywood lot or whatever. Okay, and there's actually reason to lie about it. We wanted to beat Russia to space.
Right.
So there's actually reason for the conspiracy. I still don't believe it one bit.
I was going to say,
We landed on the moon. I understand it, okay? But it infuriates me when people don't think we landed on the moon. But not nearly as bad as the flat earthers.
Right, and then with the flat earthers, you can just bring up everything, and they can just say, it's government hoax, government hoax, government hoax.
Dude, I was talking to a guy on Facebook one time, and he's like, well, then how come there aren't any pictures of the Earth from space? I'm like, there are literally thousands. And I posted like 10 of them, and the guy's like, those are all fake.
Right.
I'm like, oh, God, that's done. There's nothing else I can
say.
That's
the end of every argument, because no matter what you say, they just come back with, well, that's obviously faked. That's obviously a hoax.
And then they said something about NASA admitted that the photo of their Earth is fake. And I'm like, what are they talking about? So I Google it.
Right. You try to do some research, but it doesn't
No, I found out what NASA admitted.
Oh, what did they admit?
They said that their cover photo of the Earth was photoshopped, meaning that their photo that they took the blue oceans and made them a little bluer and the Earth a little greener just to make it more colorful.
Pop. Yeah,
make it pop. It's like, that's not them admitting the photo is fake.
That's all they need, though.
They just used a filter.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's infuriating. I hate it. I don't know. They call what's his name? Neil deGrasse Tyson or Tyson. Yeah, Neil deGrasse
you got
Tyson.
It. Yeah.
I always say Neil Tyson deGrasse. No. But he who should not be named.
It's entertaining, but it's also infuriating. You know, it's,
another thing that drives me nuts, that guy that's making those flat earth models.
Yeah.
I'm watching him like, dude, that's really cool. You have a real artistic ability, mind here. I mean, you're really good at what you do. Why are you believing this stupid shit?
It's fine. There's more of them every single day too. That's the bad part.
It's terrible. Then talking about conspiracies, I was listening to Joe Rogan talk to Alex Jones today, and Alex Jones was talking about how the Sandy Hook stuff.
They turned the frogs gay, dude. They did.
Vince always does that Alex Jones impression. Who's that basketball card right there? Or football card, I mean.
I don't know.
Who's on there?
Ronnie Brown?
Ronnie Brown. Okay, but Alex Jones.
Quite a sidetrack.
I don't know. So Alex Jones is talking about how, yeah, he didn't believe Sandy Hook happened, but then he saw stuff that convinced him that he was wrong, and it did happen.
Oh, so he admits that he was wrong about that now?
Only on Alex Jones, or only on Joe Rogan's podcast. Wouldn't the responsible thing, he even says so. So when I realized that I was wrong, and it actually, I moved on to another topic, and I never talked about it again. Well, wouldn't the responsible thing to have said, hey, listen, I was wrong. Don't bother these fucking people.
If he says he's wrong, they're not going to buy all his products that he sells on his show.
I just hate him. He's such a fucking shitbag.
That's all about money. It's all about money.
Well, especially when his wife takes him to court for custody of the kids, and her lawyer stands up there and says, this guy's crazy. Listen to all this shit that he says. He's not fit to have children. And they read all that. And then Alex Jones' attorney stands up and says, that's all an act. He doesn't believe any of that. It's all for entertainment.
Yeah, he's playing a character.
So how can you be a listener of his and one of these idiots that listens to InfoWars and believes everything and still believe it after that?
You shouldn't, but people will believe what they want to believe no matter what. That's the nature of all of this that we've been talking about.
I work with a lot of those guys. InfoWars guys?
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible. I mean, I go into the bathroom. There's bumper stickers on the stalls that say 9/11 was an inside job. There's fluoride in the water. I'm like, fluoride's good for your teeth.
There is fluoride in the water.
I go to the dentist and I get fluoride treatment. Funny one, I was talking to a guy at work who I didn't think about this at the time, but he has no teeth. Just terrible hygiene.
Right.
His mouth and his teeth have all rotted out. So we're talking about it. And I go, and I was making a joke about the fluoride. I was like, how could fluoride be a bad thing? I go to the dentist and get fluoride on my teeth. Don't you get fluoride at the dentist? And he looks at me and goes, do I look like I go to the dentist? And I was just like, sorry.
Yeah, my bad. Forgot who I was talking to for a second.
It was pretty funny. All right, let's dive into Triple Frontier. And we just wasted 14 minutes,
which I
like to bullshit for a little bit at the beginning of the show.
There's nothing wrong with that.
All right, Triple Frontier, starring Oscar Isaac, Ben Affleck, Garrett Hedlund, Pedro Pascal. Is that all? Charlie Hunnam.
Yes.
And that's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Garrett Hedlund, the whole movie I spent thinking, who is that? Who is that? Who is that? Tron Legacy. That's what I remember him from.
Is that the brother, right?
Yes, okay. Charlie Hunnam's brother in the movie.
What Ashley told me today, which I did not even believe, is that he's the youngest brother from Four Brothers.
Wasn't a huge fan.
Of Four Brothers?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Four Brothers.
Thought it was a ridiculous end. Just very stupid.
It was a Western set in modern-day Detroit.
Didn't they kill their mom or something? The bad guy killed their mom?
Yes.
Okay, so, and then they get to the end, and it's like, yeah, I'm not going to put a bullet in you and kill you. I'm going to give you a chance to kill me through a fist fight.
Well, it was a Western.
It's so stupid.
It was a Western.
Dumb.
You don't just sneak up behind the guy and put a bullet in his head in a Western.
Why not?
You take 10 paces and you
do it. It wasn't a Western. It wasn't set in the 1830s.
It was a Western set in modern day Detroit, which is what I said.
I don't think it was.
Okay. Anyways, Four Brothers is excellent. And he was a little skinny drug freak in that movie, and he no longer is.
No, he was. It looked like he was in pretty good shape,
yeah,
in this movie.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it when Ashley was telling me that.
I did really like him in Tron Legacy, too, though.
I saw Tron Legacy once, and
I liked that movie a lot. I really liked Olivia Wilde in that movie, too.
I like Olivia Wilde anytime. She's got a directorial debut coming out. Yeah, and the movie looks pretty good. It's a comedy.
She's kind of a weirdo.
Yeah.
I saw her on a talk show talking about living in a tent with, like, no TVs or anything, and she, like, lives off the wild.
Well, yeah, she's a little bit strange. She's a little bit out there, but that's okay. That's good for a director sometimes.
Yeah. I imagine, like, Quentin Tarantino is kind of a weird dude.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that that's accurate.
So, this is a heist movie about robbing the cartel. These are five ex-military special forces, I'm sure.
Right.
And at the beginning of the movie, Charlie Hunnam's talking about, like, don't go into the private sector. It'll ruin you.
Right.
And I think Ben Affleck has dabbled in that a little bit, the private sector.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He brings that up.
Oscar Isaac is in the private sector.
Correct.
Pedro Pascal's grounded. He's a pilot. He's got his license taken away because of his cocaine bust.
Little coke problem.
Yeah. So they team up to go rob this cartel guy. And
kind of under false pretenses. Oscar Isaac gets him out there to do recon, and then he wants to do the job.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, he does tell them that we're going to go do recon, and then if it's worth it, you guys do the job.
But so, I feel like it's a heist movie for an hour, and then it's a,
I don't know, a survival movie?
A survival movie? Yeah. It's
the third act of this movie was awful.
It's every Netflix movie for me. Not every, I shouldn't generalize, but 90% of Netflix movies, you get a really good hour and a half, and then they fall apart.
Dude, when they were in the helicopter, from the time they first started doing the recon to the time they dropped the money, was so freaking tense.
It was excellent. It was, the movie was excellent for about an hour and 15 minutes.
I was on the edge of my seat.
The whole time.
I was so nervous.
And they were building the relationships between the characters at the start of the movie, which I thought was well done. They get to the actual heist portion of the movie. They find the gigantic sums of money. Everything's fantastic. Like, I was talking to Ashley today. I said,
did he watch it?
He watched it, yeah. I said, if they fly over those mountains and land at the beach, but they don't kill the boss, and he's there waiting for them, and we have one last firefight to see who lives and who dies, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Instead,
it's anticlimactic.
Ben Affleck's character takes such a weird turn.
He's
too.
Such an idiot.
Yeah, he's supposed to be the smart guy.
Right.
And they give you no indication that his character is going to take that turn, he just all of a sudden does.
Right. I mean, you would expect it out of like what he did in the house. You would have expected that out of Garrett Hedlund's character.
Yes.
I mean, why would we? What was their initial estimate? $75 million.
$75 million.
$75 million. And what did they end up leaving? They ended up with $300 million.
They ended up
with
$250 million. Yeah, they said if that scale is even close to right, there's $250 million.
Yeah. Right. And they walked away with $5 million.
They walked away with $5 million.
It's like, if you just stuck to your plan, you would have been fine.
I don't want to give away the end, but I like the end. The very end.
Yeah.
Just because, you know.
I don't know. It, at that point, and if you've seen the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about. So you should know what I'm talking
right.
about. If I'm the guy sitting next to Charlie Hunnam, which was his brother. If I'm any one of the other guys, when Charlie Hunnam does what he does, I'm looking at him going, you motherfucker. Now I have to do that.
Well, I'm talking, not even that. I'm just talking about the very last scene of the movie.
The handing of the paper?
Right.
Yeah.
That I liked.
So we're going to get part two?
I mean, people are going to watch it. There's no doubt.
No. I think that was a decent ending. I don't think it's leading to a sequel.
I should hope not. That was enough.
Yeah.
And I like all the actors, too.
Yeah, I thought
Ben Affleck wasn't never good. Like him, though. He wasn't bad.
I don't think Ben Affleck's a bad actor.
But I don't think he portrayed... I didn't see the arc of his character coming at all, which is not always a bad thing, but it was just weird to me.
Yeah, but that's not him. I think that's more writing and directing.
Right. I guess his acting wasn't bad. It was the character that I didn't care for.
I don't know if I've ever watched a movie with Ben Affleck and thought he was bad. I don't know if I've ever watched anything and thought he was great.
No, I'm a Ben Affleck fan, to be honest with you, but this
have you ever seen anything with him and you thought he was great in?
No, I've seen... No.
Yeah, neither.
He's pretty... Good Will Hunting's one of my 5 favorite movies, and he's pretty great in that.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have a lead role.
What about when he's filming Good Will Hunting 2, Hunting Season?
That he's great in as well. Actually, he's not, because what the hell does he do at the end of that scene?
Applesauce, bitch. That was him, wasn't it? Or was that Matt Damon that said... No, I think it was Ben Affleck that said applesauce, bitch.
Ben Affleck uses some weird voice.
Yeah, he does.
And that's what that's so maybe he wasn't great in that.
That was at the beginning, but then when they pull out the shotgun and do some shooting, I think Ben Affleck goes, applesauce, bitch.
What does he say in the weird voice? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Oh.
Well, I don't know, guys. Yeah. Something like that. It was funny, though.
I think he's an excellent director.
Oh, yeah.
I love Argo. I love Argo.
I hate that the Academy hates him.
Yeah.
I mean, when Argo wins Best Picture and...
He doesn't even get a nomination.
Doesn't even get a nomination for Best Director. I wonder if that's ever happened where a Best Picture didn't get a nomination. Best Picture winner didn't get a nomination.
I don't think it has ever happened, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think it's terrible.
That movie is... I'm always one of my favorite movies in the last 10 years. Like, it might be my
really good.
Favorite movie.
It was another movie that was incredibly tense.
So tense. And you know what's going to happen. That's the crazy... That's why you know he's a good director. Because you know what's going to happen. You know that it's a true story. Mm-hmm. You know what's going to happen. Yet you're still, while they're trying to get on that plane, I was watching it at home. I didn't go see it at the theater.
Me too.
I was watching it at home, and I was laying down on the couch watching it. And as they're getting ready to leave on the plane, I'm sitting up at the edge of my seat without even realizing that I'm doing it.
You know, another one that did that, which I knew what was going to happen, was First Man.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, oh my God, what's going to happen when they open this door? Are there going to be aliens out there? Are they all going to die?
When I saw...
It's like, I know what's going to fucking happen.
Well, I went with Thomas to go see First Man, and saw it in IMAX, and he was like, I really liked it. I go, I really liked it too, and like, it's not like we don't know the story. Yet I was... Like, even in the beginning where he's spinning around before they even go to make it to the moon, I'm like, I hope he's okay. I know he's going to be okay.
I thought the movie was done really well. I didn't think it was that great, though, because, for one, the movie felt like it was 6.5 hours.
It was a long movie. It felt long, and it wasn't even that long.
But I don't know if there's anything that they could have really left out.
No. And it's a...
You know it won for best visual effects?
It did?
Yeah, which I think is ridiculous.
No, like Avengers should have won.
Absolutely.
But it is harder.
Black Panther.
It is harder to make something real look real than something that's not real look real.
Well, no, I think they actually went to space to film that.
Yeah, they did.
I think they went to the moon.
We've never been to the moon.
Okay. So, you know.
That just proves it. Soundstage.
Yeah, right. Going back to Triple Frontier, this first two-thirds of this movie are really good.
Almost two-thirds. Like it's 2 hours long, right? 2 hours and like 3 minutes?
Yeah, so probably it's only the first half.
First half.
Because I remember when they started the mission, I'm like, this is too early.
Right, exactly. I had the same exact thought.
I had the same thought as I did with Creed 2 when he went to go fight Drago the first time. I'm like, this is too early for this fight. Something terrible is going to happen.
I still haven't seen it.
Well, he fights Drago twice.
Okay.
So obviously during the first fight, you're like, what's going on?
Right.
How can this fight happen already?
Am I going to watch an hour and 20 minute boxing match?
Right. Ashley had talked about how Netflix movies have failed to end well. And I'm going into this movie, I was like, this is going to change that. Ugh, was I wrong?
There's so many ways they could have gone with the story to make it a really good movie. And they chose one that just didn't make much sense to me.
It was like they went from a heist movie into Lone Survivor.
Right, that's exactly what they did.
And I don't know.
It shot well. It looks really good.
I really didn't feel too bad about the bad thing that happened.
No, me either.
It's your fucking fault.
Yeah, it's your fucking fault. And it's a tale as old as time. It's fucking greed is the main culprit in their troubles.
Same thing with fucking Lady Gaga's terrible character in A Star Is Born. Fucking greed.
Yep, fucking greed.
Bitch. She killed Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper was gonna kill himself, no matter what.
No, he was sober at that time, wasn't he?
Yeah, for like 30 minutes.
Okay. If you had to rate this on the IMDb scale, 1 to 10, 5 being average, 10 being superior, 1 being shit.
The first hour was really good, so I'm going to give it a 5.5.
Really? That's it?
The second hour is so bad. It's so bad.
I thought the first hour was...
You said five was average, so I'm slightly above average.
See, I was going to go like 6.6.
All right.
Because I thought the first hour was so good.
Yeah, but if the first hour was that as bad as the second hour, and the second hour was as good as the first hour, I probably would have given it a higher score. It just left a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, it does leave a bad taste. But I don't know. You know, Catherine Bigelow was an executive producer on this movie.
I heard this movie's been going around for like 10 years, and it's just different things have happened where it hasn't been made.
It's got a 7.0 on IMDb, and I think that's too high.
What's the Metacritic on it?
Metacritic is... You got to scroll way down for that, I think.
Oh, do you? Or maybe they don't even do Metacritic for Netflix movies.
No, they have to. It's got to be a Metacritic on here. Oh, there it is. 62.
Okay, so it's in between us both.
Yeah.
Right there in the middle.
I would go with probably my 6.6 for this because I did enjoy it. The ending, I didn't, but...
Well, see,
not the ending.
If we're on a scale where 5's average, I can't throw too high above average. Because you're right.
The problem is that you really hesitate to give a movie a 1.
Right, exactly. Like, we need to, like... set movies that for each round number to give us a baseline.
Yeah, right.
Like, what's the most average movie you've ever seen?
The most average movie.
Like,
I've
would
ever
be
seen.
The definition of a 5 if 5 is average.
Captain Marvel. No, I'm joking. I don't know. We'd have to talk about this and come up with something. But that's a good segue.
Maybe next week. Yeah.
Good segue right into Captain Marvel here. Okay, I'm going to pull it up on IMDb. Why don't you start with this?
Sure. Captain Marvel, is obviously a Marvel movie. The last movie before we get to Endgame, set in the 90s, introducing a character that I assume we're going to see a lot more of in the final chapter. She is a Kree.
Or, no, she's not.
Well, I don't know why people may not have seen it.
Yeah, but I mean...
It's pretty clear she's not a Kree. Yeah, from the start.
But like, I knew she was human before even I watched the movie.
Yeah, that's true. I guess it's a character that's known.
Yeah, because
so.
Carol Danvers. Everybody knows that this is Carol Danvers.
Yeah, see, I don't know anything about Captain Marvel.
Okay, I did a little bit of research before I saw the movie, so that's
I tried to stay away from everything before I saw it, just to make up my own mind.
And I can't imagine that you're going to listen to this podcast if you haven't seen the movie.
True. Yeah.
If you know, you're not going to listen to a podcast about Captain Marvel, something this big, if you haven't seen it. Now, you might listen to it if you haven't seen Triple Frontier.
Or if you haven't seen the Flat Earth movie.
Yeah. But Captain Marvel is, you're going to avoid spoilers like the plague.
Right. That's what I've been, I'm doing that. It seems like every day I've got to avoid something about Endgame. Like, I don't know if it's true or not, but I'm not reading anything.
Did you watch the new trailer?
Not yet.
Oh. We might have to pause this and pull it up and watch it.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Okay. Let's focus on Captain Marvel right now. She's a human living with the Kree. She's got magic hands that shoot proton blasts out of them. And she finds her way to C-35, also known as Earth, and has to save the planet.
All right, and I mean, let's start off with cast real quick. Brie Larson, Samuel Jackson, Ben Mendelsohn, Jude Law, Annette Bening.
Annette Bening is...
Jimon
getting old.
Hunsen?
Jimon Hansu.
Jimon is how you say it?
Yeah, Jimon Hansu from Blood Diamond.
Jimon.
And Amistad.
Yeah, right, I know who he is. That's why I mentioned him. Because, I mean, I've seen him and stuff, and he's good.
He's really good. But especially in Blood Diamond and Amistad.
Yeah. So, how long was this movie? 2 hours?
It had to be right around 2 hours because I actually went to go see it today and it started at 12:50 and it was done at 3:00.
All right, this has a 7.1 on IMDb.
I'd go higher. I'd probably be in like the...
I might go 7.2.
I'd be in the high 7.9.
That's pretty high.
Yeah, what did I say for Alita?
Okay.
I put it right. I think I like this better than Alita's.
Oh, maybe. You're crazy. Sorry to insult you.
No, it's fine. They're real close. Like, I'd put them like neck and neck with each other.
I liked Alita more. I liked Alita's character more. I thought that this movie should have been done chronologically. I don't like the flashback scenes in this movie. I don't think it gives good development to the character the way they do it. They start off with her as Captain Marvel. She's got all her powers, and I don't think it gave you enough time to grow into the character.
I understand what you're saying, but I just don't agree. I had no problem with the way the story was put together.
For instance, at the very beginning when she's fighting the Skrulls, whatever, on the ship, there's the one that like screams in her face and growls at her, and she screams back.
Yeah,
I think I would have enjoyed that so much more if that was happening at the end of the movie when I knew her character better.
They give you a little bit of her personality before then when she's fighting with Jude Law in the beginning.
She's kind of a wet blanket, personality-wise, though.
I didn't see it. I enjoyed her character. I enjoyed she had a decent sense of humor. She was a badass.
Well, she's definitely the most serious of all the Avengers we've seen. Well, I mean, not really. Clint.
Yeah, and...
Doctor Strange is pretty witty, too.
Black Panther doesn't have much in the comedy department.
Yeah.
His character, the movie does, like his sister right. And other aspects are entertaining.
But she's a pretty serious person in this. And there were some... not bad deliveries by her, so it's not Brie Larson's fault, but I think some of the writing was bad. Like when the one guy was on top of her and he says, "Don't make me do this." And she says, "Okay." I was just like, that's the best line you writers could come up with that in that part.
What was she supposed to say?
I don't know.
I won't, and then kill him? It was like, just, what else is there to say?
Then why put the line in there at all? If it was that, if the response is that bad, just it was like they're trying to be funny and it wasn't funny at all. In that line, I'm not saying the movie because
the movie had some solid comedic elements.
There were a lot of parts where people were really laughing and I wasn't.
Like what? Just give me a...
The tentacles out of the cat's mouth.
The tentacles out of the cat's mouth got a good reaction in the theater. I enjoyed it, but I didn't... It wasn't a laugh-out-loud moment.
Now I laughed out loud when the cat was stuck to the back of the...
See, that wasn't necessarily a laugh-out-loud moment for me either. It's whatever makes you laugh.
I thought that was funny.
I do... So, yeah, we're just going to talk about this movie, because if you haven't seen Captain Marvel, then what are you doing listening to a movie?
Yeah, if you got spoilers, spoil them.
I love the way that Fury lost his eye.
Yeah,
because it's always...
At first,
always
I was like, are you kidding me? But...
It's a good way for it to happen. What is it? What is the cat? A Flurkin?
Flurkin. Yeah.
I loved that when the cat walks in the room and the main Skrill guy freaks out. Yeah. I love it. I enjoyed the way Fury was baby talking to the cat because it's so out of his typical character.
I did watch something after I saw the movie where they showed a clip. I think it was from one of the Captain America movies.
Okay.
It was probably Winter Soldier, but I'm not sure. And Captain says to Samuel Jackson something about trusting him. And he says, last time I trusted somebody, I lost an eye.
Oh, really?
Which is funny.
That's pretty good.
Because he trusted that cat.
Right. The Flurkin.
Yeah. That was pretty funny. I didn't like the way she got her powers. Actually, how do you think she got her powers?
I thought it was pretty obvious. The powers transferred from the core into her.
Okay. Because... there's something later in the movie that's alluded to the comics of how she got her powers.
What's that?
In the comics, she got her powers because she got I believe it was a blood transfusion from Mar-Vell.
Oh, she did get a blood transfusion from
Mar-Vell.
In the comics, it's from Mar-Vell?
Yes.
But in the movie, it's from...
Here's the thing. You know, when these previews came out, anybody that knew the comics... assumed that Jude Law was Mar-Vell.
Oh, okay. All right.
They changed it. And it was Annette Bening. But remember, he says something about giving her the blood transfusion.
Yeah, it's my blood that runs through her veins. Yeah.
Which was dumb also. As soon as he asked, whose blood was it? The obvious answer was yours. He should have just said that.
Right.
But so did she get her powers from the blood transfusion or the explosion? I mean, the comics suggest the blood transfusion.
I'll bet you she got her powers from the explosion, but without the blood transfusion, she would have died.
Why? What were his powers? I don't think he had any powers in that movie, did he?
No, but the Kree are just a stronger race of beings.
I don't know. I think that it was a little cheap of how she got her powers to be that powerful.
But the reason she got her powers, if it is in fact from destroying the core on the ship, is the way people always get their powers.
Oh, I don't have a problem with
sacrificing for the greater good.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with how she got them. It's just, to me, I'm like, it doesn't seem like that's enough to make her that powerful.
I mean, she is exceedingly powerful.
Yeah. And I don't know. I thought that it was going to be somebody very powerful kind of gave her those powers.
Well, the Kree are just littered throughout the Marvel. They're alluded to.
Yeah, but I think Mar-Vell in the comics was a pretty powerful fucking dude.
So Mar-Vell was a dude in the comics?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't think there was enough tie-in to the rest of the Marvel universe with this. I wanted a little bit more, especially towards the end, like leading to Endgame, with this being the final movie before Endgame. But all we got was the mid-credit scene.
How did Loki get the Tesseract?
Okay, yeah, I was thinking about that.
Because I just saw it half an hour ago, so I didn't have time to look it up.
Okay, wasn't in the first Avengers, didn't he get the Tesseract by going into the S.H.I.E.L.D.'s laboratory and stealing it from the professor from
right.
Thor? Skarsgård, Stellan Skarsgård.
Right, and when does the Tesseract make its first appearance?
Chronologically?
Yes.
First Avenger.
Captain America, First Avenger.
So he has the Tesseract, Captain has the Tesseract on the plane with him when he crashes. Howard Stark goes in, finds Captain America and the Tesseract. But no, that wasn't until the 2000s when they found Captain America.
Right.
Okay, so what I've been reading is that Howard Stark had the Tesseract, had control of the Tesseract.
Howard Stark.
Yes. And it makes sense that he would pass it around for different projects, like to Mar-Vell for the Pegasus project.
Right, okay, that makes sense. So she got it
from
him.
That's how she got it.
Okay. See, I wasn't thinking, okay, that makes sense. She would get it from him since, okay.
I don't remember how Howard Stark got it from Captain America.
I don't either. I mean, there's so much that happens.
Yeah. But Loki got it from S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
At the beginning of Avengers.
And then he...
After that, then it goes to Asgard.
Right.
Where they have it locked up. And right before Asgard's destroyed, Loki grabs it again.
Right.
And then it goes to Thanos.
Right. Okay.
The Tesseract has been, like, really, really, really important in this Marvel Universe.
Right. And it's going to play a part. At the end, right?
Well,
doesn't it have to?
I would think that the Tesseract is
the Tesseract
gone.
is the Infinity Stone. That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
It's the...
Which stone is it? It's not the Space Stone. Was it the Reality Stone?
No, that's the purple one. Because anytime you change the reality, there's purple.
Yeah, when did he get the Reality Stone?
Is it the Power Stone? Is there a Power Stone?
I thought Vision had the Power Stone. No, he had the Mind Stone.
Right. I think it's got to be the Power Stone, right? Has to be. Because the green one is the Time Stone.
Yeah. Well, how did he get the Reality Stone?
The Reality Stone he took from that planet that the Guardians were on, right?
Nowhere?
No, not nowhere. In the Reality Stone is the one that they're all holding on to at the end of the first Guardians of the Galaxy, right?
Oh, I don't know.
It's the purple one. So
well, where did
they left it with those people?
Okay, so he starts off the movie with the Reality Stone.
Right, he already has it. He's already taken that.
Well, let's go to Google.
Oh, God.
And find out where Thanos got the. What are we looking for?
Reality Stone,
or what stone was in the Tesseract?
Okay, yeah, that's probably the first question. Yeah. These are things that we should probably do off mic.
Well, we didn't talk about it, so we didn't know that this was going to be a question that we had.
We like to fly by the seat of our pants from time to time.
What stone was in the Tesseract? The Space Stone.
Space Stone. Okay.
So, yes, that makes sense because he couldn't travel through space until he got that stone. He showed up on a ship to the Guardian, or not the Guardians, the Asgardian ship.
Okay.
And then after he got the Space Stone, he can just travel around.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Which, you know how easy it would have been to defeat Thanos if Quill hadn't fucked up?
Yeah, I mean, that's the one part, that's the one thing about Endgame what's it called?
Infinity War.
Infinity War. That drives me crazy.
Yeah,
it drives me nuts.
I mean, Doctor Strange could have just opened a portal and sent the fucking gauntlet to Earth.
Yeah.
And then, hey, we can just beat on Thanos forever.
Right.
Now, until we beat kill him.
Yeah. And then he could open up another portal and banish him to wherever he...
Right.
It's dumb.
Fucking Quill.
Fucking Quill.
I hope they don't bring him back.
He's coming back.
Leave him dead.
Well, I don't know what Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is without Star-Lord.
Or Gamora. Gamora better come back. Plus, I really like Zoe Saldana.
I do, too.
Do you like her better blue or green?
Blue.
Really?
Yeah.
I like her better green.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't even remember what she looks like, her normal shade.
Yeah, I know. I thought she looked hotter as Gamora than... started with an N. What was her name?
Well, they're the Na'vi people. Yeah, but I don't know what her name is.
I don't know. Not important.
You know, I like them like 6'6".
Yeah. she's probably like 8'6" in that movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Why didn't... What's his name? Fury call...
It's unexplainable, really. I mean, I'm hoping...
Captain Marvel, when New York was under attack...
I'm hoping that there really isn't.
It's really not important.
It's not important, but there really isn't somebody to ask her. Like, the perfect person.
Sure, there is. Kevin Feige. He's come out and said why.
Well, I'm just saying, ask her. Like, now that she's here in present day with the Avengers that are left, there's really not. I guess that Bruce Banner could ask her, like, why is this the first time we're seeing you? Because Tony would be the perfect person to ask, but he's out.
Yeah, in space.
Yeah.
Captain, he's been around for hundreds of years. 100 years.
Right, but it's just like...
He was sleeping most of that time.
And Captain's going to be just like, okay, cool, you got the stuff, let's get to work. You know, Bruce would be the guy to ask why. You know, so maybe it'll be him. Just somebody's going to have to ask her, like, why is this the first time? Where are you? Who are you? Why is this the first time we're seeing you? How do you know Nick
I just don't want to hear a dumb answer like, oh, well, Fury knew you guys could handle that.
Yeah, but
I say, bullshit. That was the largest threat in the history of humankind in New York.
Yeah.
I mean, probably a couple million people died.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a chance that a couple million people died.
If the Avengers lose, Loki takes over the whole world.
Right.
And Fury's just going to be like, eh, they got it.
Yeah.
We got this super powerful being that I can page right now.
He was on a golf course, and he left his phone at home. He didn't realize that anything was even going on.
That's the biggest argument I'm hearing, people telling me that it wasn't that big of an emergency. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Wasn't that? They were ready to drop a nuke on the city.
Yeah.
Which would have happened if Tony hadn't steered it through that portal.
Right. Obviously, Fury's definition of a major... disaster and my definition are slightly different. I had a paper cut the other day. I almost lost my mind. I thought I was dying. But still, at that point in time, it should be all hands on deck.
I think. Absolutely. And somebody told me, well, she was literally billions of hours away. I'm like, well, then we wouldn't see her for Endgame if she's billions of hours away. And the person replied with, well, she's faster than that. I'm like, well, then she's not billions of hours away.
Right. I just think that it's best not to think about it. Hopefully they explain it to us in April, but...
I'm just trying to... What I was trying to do was come up with the best way to justify it in my mind, whether it's bullshit or not.
Right.
What I'm going to choose to believe. And this is what I'm going to choose to believe. Fury was like, this is pretty fucking bad. I better call Captain Marvel, but I don't want her fucking up the Avenger Initiative. We got to give these a chance. So he pages her. She comes. She's like, what's up? He's like, this shit right here. But I don't want you to intervene yet. See, I got these fucking characters that are going to try to... I'm trying to make them our little world army to save everybody. And they gotta beat this test. If they don't beat the test, then you can come in and clean everything up. But I'm willing to sacrifice all those heroes to prove that my Avenger Initiative will work. And I think Fury is enough of a dick to do something like that.
Yeah, it's possible. It's, but I just can't.
So it's like, hey, go hang out there. If anything really fucking bad happens where we're going to lose for sure, then you can come in and save the day. So that's what I'm going with.
I'm just going to choose to believe that he was on the golf course.
He wasn't on the golf course, though. He was on the big fucking jet thing. Not jet, the aircraft carrier.
Yeah,
we
that's
know
true.
That.
Well, maybe he was
making
on
up stories about what Agent Coulson said
maybe,
before he died.
Maybe he was on the golf simulator that's on the picture. He wasn't paying attention. They didn't want to bother him. I don't know. I'm going to wait. I'm just going to wait. And if they never explain it to me, I'll probably be pissed, but the movie will be good enough that I won't care. That's my
I don't think anybody's going to be like, wait, why didn't you come help us in New York?
Someone's going to mention it.
It'll be off camera.
When when she shows up at the end of Captain Marvel, forgot the name of the movie, and they turn around and they see her and she says, where's Fury?
Yeah.
First question is going to be, who the hell are you? Why are you here? Where have you been? And then she'll show her magic hands. And then they'll be like, well, where the hell have you been? She'll explain it. And then she'll be like, why, if this pager calls you to help us, why is this the first time we're seeing you?
See, that's
half
a question I don't think
destroyed.
It's
going to
be asked.
They're all pissed off because half the world's destroyed. Where the fuck have you been?
Yeah, but Fury didn't even know about what was going on.
Right, but he knew that aliens had landed.
Yeah, but I don't think he knew there
was all over the news.
But I don't think he knew that there was a threat that half of existence could be wiped with a snap of a
finger. Then what the fuck is he doing? Where's he at?
Well, he's not in charge of the Avengers anymore. The Avengers aren't even a thing.
He can't make a phone call once he sees everywhere on the news that aliens are coming and spinning donut spaceships to Earth?
See, that's the thing. You would think he would call Tony.
Right.
He'd be like, hey, what the fuck's going on? I saw you battling these aliens. What's going on?
And he'll get the call. It goes right to his fucking helmet.
But if that call happened, I think we should have seen it also.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I think that's a little bit of poor writing.
You know, it's a big universe. You've got to leave some things out, I guess. Yeah. Every movie can't be 3.5 hours long.
I don't have a big problem with any continuity errors that Captain Marvel presents. It doesn't ruin this franchise for me because it does present a few continuity holes and plot holes, but I'm fine with it.
But that's the main one. No, that's the main issue that people will have, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
A lot of people had issue about the Tesseract, but I've heard it explained, and I'm like, to me, that makes sense.
Yeah, and I give them the benefit of the doubt that they're going to tie it all together for us at the end of this next one, and we're going to have a definitive ending to this, 23-movie saga that we've been on?
22, won't it be?
This wasn't 22?
I thought this was 21.
It might have been. I don't know.
Let me
whatever.
Look at your list again.
20 or
yeah, you
more.
Have 20 on your list.
Okay.
So
22
Captain Marvel is 21.
Yeah.
Endgame will be 22. And then we'll start the next phase.
Right. Which, there's going to be superhero fatigue at some point.
You would think that it's got
to
be coming.
It's just bound to happen. Like, no one ever thought there would be Star Wars fatigue, but there really is at this point in time.
Yeah, it's getting there. People.
I mean, the episode 9 is still going to make a fortune, and it's...
I'm going to go see every Star Wars movie that comes out.
Right, but we're not everybody, though.
Right.
I'm going to go see every Marvel movie that comes out for the foreseeable future, and I'm going to avoid every DC movie that comes out.
Are you
going to
go
out.
See Dark Phoenix?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
I think I'm going to, too.
I'm going to go see it. I think the X-Men movies are garbage, but I'm going to go see it.
I just want to see Sophie Turner.
I know, you have... I can't see her the way you do. I see her as a child.
I don't anymore.
I understand she's not. She's all grown up and she looks fantastic. But I still see young Sansa Stark.
Yeah, not me. Not me anymore. I love the red hair. Okay, I am going to pause this and we are going to watch the new trailer.
No, first what we're going to do is we're going to give our... Did we already give our scores for... You didn't tell me what you thought your number would be for...
For Captain Marvel?
Yeah.
Probably about a... 5.2.
So
no,
worse
joking,
than Triple
I'm
Frontier.
I'm joking.
I was like,
that's the problem. I don't know what I gave Age of Ultron and Ant-Man because for me it falls right in between those. I liked Ant-Man a little more. I liked Age of Ultron a little less. So I would probably say about a 7.2, 7.3.
Okay, what was
for Captain Marvel?
What was the
7.4? I don't know.
What was your bottom, since I wasn't here last week and I haven't had a chance to listen? What was your bottom Marvel movie?
I don't. Iron Man 3.
Okay, yeah, it's not a great movie. And what would you score that if you had to give it a 1 through 10?
1 through 10?
Like a normal score that we do.
3.8.
Okay. So that's the range.
It.
And what was your favorite?
Civil War.
And what would you give that?
9.5.
All right. So
now, these are graded on a superhero scale. Superhero movie scale. If The Godfather wasn't, I give a Godfather a 9.5 and I give Civil War a 9.5. The Godfather's better than
right, understandable. Civil War. It's all graded on a curve. I get it. And for me, my lowest is Guardians 2. I give it like a 4. I'll be generous, 4.1. And then my favorite.
What do you give Iron Man 3 then? Because I can't believe you liked Iron Man 3 more than any movie in the MCU.
Iron Man 3, I think, was one spot above it. It wouldn't be much higher. Yeah, it's in my bottom three, I'm almost positive. I can't remember.
Oh, you had it at 18 and the Incredible Hulk at 19.
Right. Yeah. So, those three, they're in the same neighborhood.
You were the only one that have Guardians 2 in the bottom two movies.
So
because everybody else had Iron Man 3 and Incredible Hulk at 19 and 20.
Which is fair. I just have a real problem with that Guardians movie, and I know I'm in the minority. But anyways.
God, you got the Dark World high. You got Winter Soldier low.
You've got Civil War at one. That's too high.
No, it's not.
That was last week's podcast.
You've got
Civil
War at seven? Jesus Christ.
Jesus. I guess we're doing last week's podcast now, too. I missed it. I didn't get to defend my choices, but that's okay. Anyways,
okay. So I'd say, what did I say? 7.4.
Yeah, I'd put it at around 8.7, 9 to 8.2, somewhere in that range.
Okay, so we're close.
We're close. I like it a little bit more than you do, but we both liked it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Of course,
it's worth seeing. I'm also a Brie Larson stan. I fully admit that. I love
Brie Larson. Brie Larson stan.
Yeah, that's what the kids say now. They say stan. You're not serious? Hip with the kids' lingo? Come on.
Are you making that up?
No, I'm not making it up.
I don't get it.
We'll talk off mic. Okay. We're running out of time.
All right. Quick pause here so we can watch the new Endgame trailer. Hold on a second, guys. All right. So we just watched the new Endgame trailer, and it's an awesome trailer.
It's an awesome trailer.
It doesn't give you a whole lot.
They don't give you too much, which you don't want
too much. They do show you Clint's dumbass fucking haircut.
Yeah, it's pretty spectacular.
But, the one small tiny scene at the very end with Captain Marvel with Brie Larson. A lot of flashback stuff in this trailer.
Yeah, which I think that's how you want it. You don't want to see a trailer for this movie that's going to tell you what you don't. I don't want anything spoiled for
like
me.
I want to know what them fucking white suits are,
right,
that they're wearing.
Exactly. Like, that's exactly how a trailer for a movie this big should be. It gets you excited, but it gives nothing away.
Yeah, and we've got what, a month?
Yeah, I think it's just 1 month, right? It's April 27th? Is
I'm
that
so
what it
pumped.
Is?
I don't know. All right. So, in conclusion, to wrap this up, anything else?
No. I think we covered it. Go see Captain Marvel. Definitely worth seeing if you haven't seen it. And Triple Frontier, if you're really bored, give it a watch.
Yeah, you could also turn it off once they drop the money.
Yeah.
Okay. Our voicemail number is 219-649-1071. Give us a call. We got to change everything over to what you're watching. We have to have Ashley make us a website.
Yes, we do.
And we can archive podcasts on that website. It will make sharing the episodes easier. So I'm going to have to hook Threaten up with Ashley. We'll
right.
get that going. So
next week,
until
Abducted
next week.
In Plain Sight.
Yeah, we will talk about that. Hopefully we could talk about Afterlife a little more.
Yeah, I'll give that a watch.
What was that show? Santa Clarita Diet. Doesn't take a whole lot of talking, but it's hilarious. I love it. So until next time, thanks for listening, guys.
See you.